Hello, this is Pastor Michael E. Tom, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church, and we want to welcome you to the School of the Prophets. Today you'll be listening to the Reverend Bruce Ford, or Minister Bruce Ford, and his message today is Finding Confidence in God. Finding confidence in God. And before we get into the message, we want to invite you out to our website at www.HearGod'sWord@Bethlehem.com, and there you can click the Forward tab and you can listen to many of Reverend Ford's other messages, as well as you can listen to the Sermon tab and listen to our 11 a.m. service, as well as our 6 p.m. service and Wednesday night service. And we want to encourage you also to visit our MySpace page at www.MySpace.com/Pastor Michael E. Tom. That's E-A-T-O-N. But now we want you to get into the Word. Again, finding confidence in God.
Let's go to the Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your holy and precious name. Father, I come to you this evening, humbling myself before you. Father, there is a word that you place within me. It's not my word, it's your word. Father God, and I come asking that you would deliver this word to your people. Deliver it in such a way, Father God, that somebody's heart may be touched, that their life will be changed, and that you will be glorified. Father, I come in Jesus' name asking that you will remove anything from me, Father God, that is not pleasing in your sight. Help me to say by my sin what you say, Father God, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Father God, I come this evening, Father God, humbling myself before you, asking that you would have your way in me tonight. Anoint me and equip me, Father God, for what you call me to tonight. Speak to me, Father, and speak through me, that your people might be edified and that your name might be glorified. Father, I thank you for the word that you've spoken to me through this word. Father, I pray that you would continue to strengthen me by your spirit. Father God, that I might go and share the love. Use me, Father God, to bring glory and honor to your name. I thank you, Father God. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen and amen. Giving honor to God. Once again, I consider it a privilege to be able to stand before God's people to share what God has given to me. Tonight, our passage will be taken from the book of Lamentations. We're going to look at the 22nd through the 26th verses. Once you found it, I encourage us to say amen. And I encourage us to stand, not stand on anything that we have, but to stand on God's word, to stand in reverence to God's word. Because I believe the word that says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. May the Lord bless the hearing, reading, and doing of his precious and holy word. As I stand here, God is still dealing with me on the topic, on what he would have me to preach tonight. And I'm hearing God tell me to label this finding confidence in God. You know, God's people have only one way to face life. Confidently. After all, he loves us. He has saved us from eternal death and is committed to guiding us through every moment of life. God wants us to live confidently, but all too often we allow feelings of personal inadequacy and unworthiness to derail our confidence. And that's where we come to tonight in our text. You know, it has been attributed to Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations. And in this book, especially in the third chapter, we see the prophet's anguish and his hope. You know, he's crying out to God. He's lamenting to God because the children of Israel are in bondage. These are God's people. And he's not understanding why God's people are in bondage to this heathen nation. And it has broke his heart. But then in the third chapter, he goes and he begins to lament his own personal anguish. You know, in the first verse, he says, I am a man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. You know, he goes through and he says he has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. His heart is broken because he's facing some consequences in his life. He is facing some controversy in his life. He's seeing trials and tribulations come his way. But tonight I want to take and I want to look at 4 points. Because our confidence is not in who we are, but our confidence is in who God is. And God's record is a proven record. If we go through history, we never see God failing at all. He's always victorious. And you know, this is sort of ironic. Because this is our victory week here at Bethlehem. You know, and the only way that you can have victory is that you begin to see God in the midst of all that you're going through. I want to deal with 4 points. And these 4 points are looking at God. Our God is compassionate. Our God is consistent. Our God is committedly caring. And most of all, our God is confident. You know, in the 22nd verse, it says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. In the early part of this chapter, Jeremiah is lamenting all the things that he's gone through. All the trials and the tribulations that are coming his way. You know, he's naming them all one by one. I could go through here and begin to name each one of them. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways in hewn stone. He has made my path crooked. He has been a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. But then he gets down to the 22nd verse. And he says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. And I want to put a pin right there. Because, you know, we have come to this point not because we're deserving. We've come to this point not because God owes us something. We've not come to this point because we've arrived. We've come to this point because of God's mercies. The word says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because the word says the wages of sin is death. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. But because his compassions fail not. God is a compassionate God. Man sinned in the garden. But you know, even in the garden, God made preparations for a way to bring man back into right relationship with him. He began to have compassion on Adam and Eve, on mankind in the garden. Because the very first messianic promise is in the third chapter of Genesis and the 15th verse. You know, God began to make a way before he'd made a way even before. Because it says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's God showing compassion. That is God letting you know that he loves you. We serve a compassionate God. How many of us have turned our back on God at some point in our lives and decided to go our own way? It wasn't me that kept me. It was God that kept me. It was God's compassionate mercy that kept me. You know, when I had smoked so much dope that I was about to lose my mind, it was God's compassion that kept me. When I was traveling up and down the road, high as a kite or drunk as you could possibly get, you know, it was God's compassionate. His compassion that brought me safely to my home. And in his mercy allowed me to wake up the next day and wonder how I got over. The God we serve is a compassionate God. But not only is he compassionate, he's consistent. For it says, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And when I was looking at faithfulness, I saw consistency. Because in order for you to be faithful, you got to be consistent. That's the God that we serve. Great is his faithfulness. When we were out there, thinking that we had it all under control, God was being faithful. As I said, as I travel up and down the highway, carrying drugs, God was being faithful. When I was running from the law, God was being faithful. When I was sick and lost, God was being faithful. The God we serve is a consistent God. He is a God that we can depend on when we can't depend on nothing and no one else. His word never fails. In his word, he tells us that his word will not return void. It will accomplish all that it was set out to do. You know, and when, in those times when we don't know how to pray, I'll show you how consistent our God is. When we don't know how to pray, the Bible says that the God has given us the Spirit that intercedes on our behalf with groanings and which cannot be uttered. God is consistent. But not only God consistent, but our God is committedly caring. Because it says the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. God is committedly caring. Because when you didn't know where your next dime was coming from, when you got that cutoff notice hanging on your door, and you didn't know how how you was going to pay that bill. Because God was committedly caring. Because God looked down through ages and he saw that you were going to need that day. And God prepared a way for that bill to be paid. When your heart was broken because some man had left you, God was committedly caring. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. God is committedly caring. When you're sitting in a jail cell, family's forsaken you, friends left you, you done made the judge mad. The DA is out to get you. God is still committedly caring. Because they saying one thing, God is saying another. And what God says is probation. And they ain't understanding how it come about. You ain't understanding how it come about. But God is committedly caring. Because God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And these words that I want to say right now, I say to those of you who are still walking in the path that you want to walk, God is committedly caring. Because of the Lord's mercies, you are not consumed. Because of his compassion, you are not consumed. You think that you're out here doing everything that you're big enough to do, but it's God who's keeping you. It's God who is committedly carrying you, guiding you through the paths of life, who's not letting you go here, but directing you over here, who's putting people in your path to pray for you. That's God, because he's committedly caring. Please hear me today. Because the word says his mercies are new every morning. We're talking about finding confidence in God. Our final point is that our God is confident. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly. For salvation is of the Lord. God is confident. You know how confident God is? God is so confident that he said his word will not return void, but that it will accomplish all that it was sent out to do. God is confident. Because God said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God is confident because God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Our God is confident. And I want us to know, it's not us, it's God in us. And because God is in us, I can be confident. I can be confident in knowing that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can be confident knowing that my God is compassionate. I can be confident that knowing that it's only by his grace and his mercy that I am not consumed. I can be confident. Just like Jeremiah. Because you know Jeremiah, for 21 verses, cried. He cried. 21 verses. In that third chapter, he cried. He's crying. He's whining about the things that are coming against his life. He's whining. Because he don't have the money to pay his bill. He's whining because his son is out of control and he don't know what to do. He's crying because his wife is acting a fool.
And his hair, he's about to pull his hair out. He's crying because sickness has come on him and he don't know how he's going to make it through another day. He's crying because he don't have a job and his family is hungry. But you know he gets to that 22nd verse. And he remembers. He begins to understand. Because what God did is God allowed him to see the mess. But then God took and wiped away the mess. And he realizes that through the Lord's mercies, he is not consumed. Because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He begins to shout. He begins to rejoice. Because he's realizing that his confidence is in God. His confidence is not in his circumstances. His confidence is not in his situations. His confidence is not in his hunger. But his confidence is in God. And he's just like Job. He stands just like Job. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. He's just like the three Hebrew boys. I don't care what you do to us. We're not going to bow down to you. He's like Daniel before he went into the lion's den. I don't care what you say, three times a day I'm going to bow down and pray. Confidence in God. Paul had confidence in God. He was shipwrecked, beat over and over, but his confidence was in God. Did he waver? No. Why? Because his confidence was in God. He knew that God's word was what God's word said it was going to be. Peter stood on God's word. Peter had his confidence in God. And one of my heroes, Stephen. Stephen stood before him, told him what God said, and was ready to die for God. Because he had confidence in God. Who is your confidence in? What is your confidence in? If it's in anything besides God, it's going to fail you. God never fails you. Because great is his faithfulness. And I want to take you home to my elder brother. Left glory. Left glory. Knew what was before him. As a young boy, went with his parents to the temple. They did their service. They began to leave. They forget and leave him. Now I want you to look at God now. They go back. They find him sitting. And probably teaching, because that he just awesome, just awesome. And they say, well, hey, what's up with this? Why did you have us worry? And he told them, know ye not that I must be about my father's business. At 12 years old, his confidence was in God. But that wasn't the end. Because he stood before the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he took all kind of abuse. But he continued to have his confidence in God. He continued to preach and teach God's word. He continued to heal and deliver. He continued to do all kinds of miracles because his confidence was in God. And he knew what he had facing him. And the time came that he set his face toward Jerusalem. And he began to make that walk. Because his confidence was in God. He went to the garden. And he prayed. Father. And I'm paraphrasing. But I don't want you to think I'm misquoting scripture. I'm just paraphrasing so we can understand. Father. If you would, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. his confidence was in God. He was willing to go all the way. He was willing to do whatever God said do, because his confidence was in God. The Bible said that he sweated as of drops of blood. His confidence was in God. They came to get him. Judas betrayed him with a kiss. He didn't strike out at Judas. He didn't call him a rat or a snitch, because his confidence was in God. They took him before the council. They began to accuse him. The Bible says he answered not a word, because his confidence was in God. They took him from there, and they marched him up Golgotha's hill. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was spit on. For you and for me. But he didn't turn away, because his confidence was in God. At any time in that, during that whole time, he could have turned and stopped it all. But his confidence wasn't in himself. His confidence was in God. He allowed them to nail him to an old rugged cross. Because his confidence was in God. He allowed them to raise him up. Because his confidence was in God. He prayed for his accusers and his abusers. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because his confidence was in God. He did all that for you and for me. He allowed them to kill him, because his confidence was in God. Because he knew they were going to take him down from that cross, and they were going to lay him in a tomb, and he was going to lay there Friday night. He was going to lay there all day Saturday morning. He was going to lay there Saturday night. But all Friday, Sunday morning, because his confidence in God was in God, he got up with all power. And because he got up, we can get up. Because his confidence is in God. Troubles are going to come. Trials, tribulations are going to come. But your confidence needs to be in God. Because God said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, it says you shall be saved. Now this is for those of you who don't know him. Put your confidence in him. Put your confidence in the word that he said, that all you've got to do is believe and confess, and you shall be saved. All it takes is confidence in God. I told you earlier that God said in his word that his word won't return void. All that it was set out to do, it will accomplish, and it's going to accomplish it. All you have to do is have confidence in God. For those of you who are riding the fence. One minute, you're trying to go to the bingo hall to take care of your bills. And then the next minute, you run into the church asking the church to give you a hand. My advice to you is that you have confidence in God. And when I say that we have confidence in God, it's saying, throwing all caution to the wind. It doesn't matter whether I can see it or not, but I'm believing God to do what he said he's going to do. And God is not a man that he would lie. And all God is doing is saying, have confidence in me. He said, if you would have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it would happen. That's confidence in God. Before I close this, I want us to know the God we serve is compassionate. The God we serve is consistent. The God we serve is committed and caring. But the God we serve is confident. And if you need confidence today, you can get it from our God. Because the word says that everything in him is yes and amen. His promise.
Hello, this is Pastor Michael Eaton, and I am the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 311 North Dunbar. We want to thank you for listening into the School of Prophets message entitled Finding Confidence in God. Finding Confidence in God. And if you're looking for a personal relationship with God, then you need to find confidence in God. And the way you find confidence in God is to believe what God's word says. There's some who are looking to have a personal relationship with God, and this is what you need to know. First of all, you need to know Romans 3:23. Every human is a sinner, for the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's penalty for sin is death, Romans 6:28 says, but the wages of sin is death. But the good news about this verse is that second part of that, which says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, God has a great love. And because of his great love, he's made provisions for the sinner. That's why you can find confidence in God. Well, the Bible says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. You see, God's not waiting for you to clean up your life to get right with God, as many tell me as a preacher. I feel like they got to stop drinking, smoking, and doing everything that they believe is wrong. But God has already made provisions for you, and that's his son, Jesus Christ. And each person must put their trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So all you have to do to find confidence in God right now, to have him in your life working for you personally, is to pray this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead as the cost price for the penalty of my sins. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my life as my Lord and Savior. And if you prayed that prayer or willing to pray that prayer, then today you can find confidence in God in knowing that you are starting a new and exciting and vibrant relationship with him. And God has a wonderful plan for your life. But in order to decipher God's plan for your life, you've got to find a church home. Now, if you're anywhere near Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, about 55 miles south of Oklahoma City, then we want to see you in the service at Bethlehem Baptist Church. We want to see you there. You don't have to dress up. You won't have to speak up when you're there. All we want you to do is to show up, and we'd love to see you in the service. But if you're listening somewhere around the world in different countries, different lands, then we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God and disciples God's plan for your life. So we want to thank you for listening again to the School of the Prophets. Minister Bruce Ford, if you enjoyed this message, why don't you email him at bford@hearGodsWord.com. Encourage this young man, young minister, in the faith. Let me give the benediction. Benediction is the final blessing. Father God, we thank you. We praise your holy name. We pray, Lord, that you would put your hedge of protection around each one at the sound of my voice and keep them safe from all harm and danger until we meet again here in Cyber Church or in the service. In Jesus' name, amen and praise the Lord.
Your word, Lord. Speak, Lord.